Well, good morning, everyone. Please go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to continue to walk through this beautiful letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a group of believers in the city called Colossae. If you've been with us, you know that this is we've only been a few weeks in this letter, and it's already been so encouraging to me, and I believe it has been as well to you. And so I'm very glad to continue to walk through this letter with you. And if you've noticed, we're going to do this verse by verse. We've been slowly going through each one of these verses to really bring out the beauty and the depth that are in each one of these verses. I want to make so clear to each one of you what it meant, what Paul meant by what he wrote, what God intends for us to get out of these verses, and how we are to live according to these. And so last week, we completed Paul's joy and thankfulness to God for this church. If you remember, that's what he was thankful for. He was joyful. He was grateful to God for this church. And now we're going to see Paul's petition of prayer, where he's praying for this church to God that they would have a godly knowledge that would bear gospel fruit. So that's what we're going to see today, godly knowledge which bears gospel fruit. And as a reminder, if you weren't here with us, Paul did not plant this church. He did not see the majority of these believers face to face. And so he's praying on behalf of a newfound church, or a church that he now heard of, and he's praying to God that he would fill them with the knowledge of God's will. And how we know that is, look at verse 3, Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. This is how we know Paul didn't see them. He didn't see them face to face. He says this: "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since," what? "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints." And then if we go down to 9, where we're going to begin today, he says it again. He says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it." So Paul hasn't seen or met this church. He did not plant this church. He was informed about this church by Epaphras, who is believed to be the church planter of Colossae and believed to be the pastor of that church, who has now informed Paul and the others who are there with him about this newfound church in Colossae. And so Paul, one, him and his friends that are with him, the other believers that are with him, they're extremely thankful to God for this church. And then we'll notice that they immediately begin to pray for this church, that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. So look now, as we remember that Paul was so thankful for this church, look now as we look to his petition of prayer. Verse 9, we're going to read to verse 11. Starts by saying, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience." Now I'll say this, verse 12, I know in most of your Bibles is probably still there. It goes along with this petition, but we're seeing a difference from his prayer of how they would live and then the thankfulness for what they have been delivered from. So next week, we're going to look at verses 12 through 14. But we see in this letter, these verses, Paul is praying to God on behalf of this church that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. So this is a petition of prayer, that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will. That's God's will, not man's will, that they would be filled with God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that's why I've titled this sermon, "Godly Knowledge, which bears gospel fruit." We're going to see how Paul prayed for them to be filled with this knowledge, and that not only would they be filled with it, but that it would impact the way in which they live their lives. So Paul's coming from this joy and thankfulness. His joy and thankfulness to God, as if you remember, is for their, what? Their faith in Jesus Christ, their love for all the saints, and their hope in the gospel of truth. Those are the three things that we saw last week that Paul was praying and thanking God for this church. their faith in Jesus Christ, love for all the saints, and their hope in the gospel of truth. So once they heard of this, once Paul and those who were in prison with him, remember he's in a house arrest, those who were with him began to immediately praise God and thank God for this, and then on behalf of this newfound church that they're informed about, they go to God in prayer and pray for this church to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Look at 9, verse 9b, A and B. He says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it," heard of what? Their faith and their love and their hope that this newfound church is established, and they began to pray that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom. Now, for Paul and his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, this was a no-brainer. This was a no-brainer for them to go and pray for this to be true of this church, that they would be filled with knowledge. That is, that they would be controlled by the knowledge of God's will, that it would impact their life and how they live, that they would mature in the walk that they have with Christ. It's not that they would believe and then be stagnant. It's that they would mature in it. They would be filled with it, that it would control their life, that it would dominate their life, the knowledge of God's will from God's word, that it would then impact their life and they would live accordingly to God's word. This is what they're praying for. It was a no-brainer for them to pray this. And so I want us to think about that. When you've heard of somebody coming to Christ, was your first thought to pray for them to mature, to pray for them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding so that they would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord? Was that your first thought? It's not always been my first thought. It was convicting to me. So when I was praying and reading over this text, it would be foolish for me not to pray the same for this church, that this church that God gives to this fold would be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing the fruits that we see. That's what we should pray for. The apostles and the disciples, those in the early church, it was a no-brainer for them to pray this. Because today, it's not common to pray that. It's not common to pray for the maturity of the saints. It's more common to pray for a fellowship or some kind of gathering or extra spiritual things that would come outside of God's Word. And this is actually what Paul is addressing too. That no, we need to be filled with God's will, not man's will. Vodi Bakum, who we respect, a pastor who we respect, he's in Africa, he would say this about the modern day church. "The modern church is producing passionate people with empty heads who love the Jesus they don't know very well." But Paul is saying quite the opposite. He doesn't want this church to be a church that doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't know God's will. He wants them to be a church that is filled with the knowledge of God's will, that knows what His Word says, and that is going to live according to what God's Word says. This is what Paul is praying for, that they would be filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding, that they would not be a people with empty heads and empty actions, but that they would be people that are full of the knowledge of God's will and that live according to it. And so what we're going to see is two different things from these few verses. We're going to see the purpose of Paul's prayer. If you look at verses 9 through 10, A and A to C, basically the end of 10, we're going to see the purpose, the reason why he is praying, what he prays would be the outcome, and then the product of one who does have this knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We're going to see the product that comes out of it, the fruit that bears from it. So that's why it's titled Godly Knowledge, which bears gospel fruit. Right now, we're just hitting the broad strokes of these verses, and then we're going to get into the details of each one. And so he is praying this. He is praying that this church would mature, that they would be sanctified, that they would be more godly, they would be more Christ-like, they would exude Christ in their life, that they would be filled with his knowledge, and that they would act upon it in every action that they do in their life. And look, just for further explanation, turn to verse 28 of chapter 1. 28 and 29. Paul says this again, as he's basically completing his thought in this chapter. He says, "We proclaim him," that's Christ, "we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom." We've already seen that in verse 9. "With all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. We also see the power in these verses too, this power that comes from God. So he is praying that this would be it, that they would walk in a manner worthy to him, that they would walk in Christ, that they would be full of the knowledge of God's will, and that it would impact the way that they live their lives and act. For just a moment, many, if not all, but many of you in this room have kids, or have family that have kids, or have friends that have kids. Think of kids for a moment. Your children, your friends' children, your family's children. You'll notice that as they grow up, they have a stronger desire to what? To mature, to grow up, to be more adult-like. They have a strong desire to mature and grow up. I've been corrected by kids around 5, 6 years old that they're not 5, they're 5 and a half. Or they're not 6, they're 6 and a half. I'm sure many of you have had that correction too, because they desire to grow up and be older. Most parents have a measuring chart on their wall or somewhere in the house where they'll measure the height as they grow up over the next few months. But children have a strong desire to grow up. When I was a child, my family and friends, we went to, I believe it was South Carolina, to go whitewater rafting. And at that time, I was just at the right age, but there was also a weight requirement. And I did not meet the weight requirement. I was several pounds light. I was really bummed. I was really upset because I wasn't going to be able to go with all the older kids. I wasn't going to be able to go with all the adults to whitewater raft. So I don't recommend this, but what I did is I took a bunch of rocks, put them in my shoes and in my pockets, and then I went and got weight again. And I made the weight, and I went whitewater rafting, and then I fell out of the raft with my dad, and he got me. But I had a desire to grow up. I wanted to be included with them. I wanted to be seen as older. I wanted to do those things, and I wanted to go and be with the older kids. I had a strong desire to grow up. It's funny, it's comical, but all kids have this desire to grow up. And so similarly, more different, but similarly, Paul is praying that this group of believers would have a strong desire to mature and to grow up in the faith, that they would be more and more like Christ every single day of their life, that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, and that they would come to maturity in Christ. This is what Paul is praying for this church. He hears of their faith, this new established church, and then he immediately says, I need to pray for their maturity. This is what he's saying. This is what he's praying for. So kids, just like kids have a strong desire, Christians who are kids in the faith, children in the faith, should have a strong desire for spiritual maturity. Have you ever wondered or asked yourself what spiritual maturity and growth actually looks like? Some would think that the more, if you go to church every single week, that proves spiritual maturity. Or if you are involved in multiple ministries, that proves spiritual maturity. Or if you give a lot to the local church, that proves spiritual maturity. That doesn't prove spiritual maturity. Sure, it may be a byproduct of someone who is spiritually mature, but those things don't prove spiritual maturity. Those things are not what says this person is so mature because they're involved in all these areas of the church, or because they give a certain amount to the church, or because they're never missing a Sunday morning. Of course, those things should be true of a spiritually mature individual, but that's not what proves it. And so Paul shows that in the verses we're going to cover today. What I want to tell you, the proof, or what should be true of somebody who is spiritually mature and growing, is this. The heart of spiritual growth is growing in and being filled or controlled by the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, then acting on it. I'll say that one more time. The heart of spiritual growth is growing in and being filled or controlled by the knowledge of God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, then acting on it. It's not enough to simply have intellectual understanding of God's will from His Word. You have to actually live according, be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer, as James says. So this is what Paul is also praying. He shows this, I want them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will so that they live in a manner worthy. And when they do actually live in a manner worthy, this is going to be the fruit of their life. This is what he's praying for. So verse 9, look at verse 9. You can circle that word for. You can point it to other areas in this verse, because this for is a transition into what we're covering today. Well, after he's already said this thankfulness that he has for this church, he says, for this reason, for this newfound awareness, for this new knowledge that we have of this church that Epaphras brought to us, for this reason, I'm going to immediately pray, without ceasing, pray for this church to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. So this newfound, this four, is coming from the thankfulness that Paul had to God for this church. He's thankful for the Colossians, what? Faith in Jesus Christ, love for all the saints, and their hope that they have in the gospel of truth. So he's coming from that thought in those verses 3 through 8, and now he's going into, we have been praying for you unceasingly that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. He desired for them to grow and mature, and so he's praying for that to be the case. So notice how immediate they did. They prayed. They said, once we heard of it, we immediately began to pray for you that you would, what? Be filled with the knowledge of God's will. I'm going to keep saying that because this is what Paul was praying for. This is what he was reiterating. Have you ever thought of praying without ceasing? Does that mean that somebody is just in the room on their knees, head bowed, eyes closed, 24 hours a day? No. But that what that means is that the people who are praying unceasingly are people who are filled with the knowledge of God's will. And they're constantly thinking about this church. When you're praying without ceasing, it's that if you think of Steadfast Community Church, or you think of your brother and sister in Christ, you're constantly thinking of them with a heavenly mindset that they would mature in Christ, that they would grow. This is what praying without ceasing means, is that your mind is always heavenly minded. It's always anything that comes your way. So if there was a problem that comes, you would go and think about those things in a godly manner, and you would bring that to the Lord. And you think of the Colossian church, what Paul is thinking about and praying about is that he's praying constantly as he thinks of them that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. That's what he is praying for. And so he's constantly praying for that. And so why we need to think about this? Because he knows how important it is for Christians to mature. Just like you know how important it is for your children to grow and mature and understand things. It's very important. That's why we educate them. That's why we send them to school. That's why we teach them God's word, because we know how important it is for them to grow and mature. So does Paul and the other believers with him. They know how important it is for children in the faith, this young church, to grow and mature with the knowledge of God's will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that's what they're thinking of. And as we think of children once again, and we think about how they want to grow and mature, we understand that it takes teaching. It takes training. It takes somebody who is already mature to teach those children the truth. This is why Paul says that they wouldn't grow up without this, but this is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Paul says this, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but what? Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Children need godly discipline. They do. And they need godly instruction. From God's word, this is how children mature and grow in the faith. This is how children come to know about the grace of God. This is how children come to faith, is that parents teach them. They would not come to spiritual maturity without somebody teaching them, without somebody training them. So Paul is praying that this would be true of them, that they would grow in spiritual maturity. Christians must be filled with the knowledge of God's will. They must mature. They must understand, but they need that teaching from God's word to grow and mature. So Paul is praying that this would be the case. Now what we're going to do is we're going to look a little bit closely, a little bit closer to these verses. And I'm going to show you the two differing points that we're going to look at today. The purpose. So one, first we're going to see the purpose of Paul's prayer. Then we're going to see the product of the life filled with the knowledge of God's will. So first, purpose for Paul's prayer is that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will so that you will, or you may walk in a manner worthy and pleasing to the Lord. We see that in verses 9 through 10a. That's his purpose for praying, that they would be filled and with the knowledge of God's will and that they would walk in a manner worthy of God's will. And then the second thing is going to be the product of someone who actually does and is filled with the knowledge of God's will. So the product of godly knowledge is godly knowledge will produce what? Gospel fruit. Godly knowledge will produce a knowledge of God. Godly knowledge produces an increased knowledge of God. And godly knowledge produces spiritual strength, which comes from God. Godly knowledge produces steadfastness and patience in the Lord. This is what we're going to see today in these verses. And so let's look at verses 9 through 10. I want to read it one more time. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So the purpose for Paul's prayer is that they may be filled with the knowledge of God's will, so they may walk in a manner worthy of and pleasing to the Lord. Paul's desire for this church is that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Filled, this word filled is really meaning it's completely consumed, that you're completely controlled, that you're dominated by God's will. When you understand the fullness of God's will, or at least you are being matured in God's will, this is going to control your life and how you live. It dominates your life. It controls your life. And so Paul is praying that this would be true of this church, that they would be controlled by the knowledge of God's will. Have you ever desired to be controlled by the knowledge of God's will, that whatever you see in His Word is what you're going to live according to? Or do you see things in God's Word and say, well, maybe I'll one day live according to this truth of God's Word? Paul is praying that they would be consumed by it, that they would be controlled by it, that it would fill their life as a cup that is filled and cannot not be filled anymore. This is what he's praying for, that they would continually be filled with the knowledge of God, that it will control their life, their actions, everything that they do. And you may ask right now, well, what is God's will? How do we know what God's will? How do we live according to God's will? How do we know what it is? Well, I'll tell you, if you're holding a Bible right now, that's where you find it, and that's where we're going to find it every single week that we're here. We find it from God's Word. Listen to what Jesus said in John 7:17 about God's will. He said, if anyone is willing to do His will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. When he says, if you want to do His will, he will know of the teaching, he's saying the teaching that you learn of is from God's Word. You will know it, and you will live according to it. So you will know this teaching, you will know God's Word, and you will live according to it. Today there is so many false teaching going on, the name it, claim it movement, or the prosperity gospel movement, the confess your blessing, claim your blessing, sow your seed of blessing type of teaching that's going on. That's from man's will. That's, I can proclaim this and then it'll be true in my life. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's not that you will proclaim your own blessing and then God's got to give it to you because you said it. That's not how life works. That's not how Christianity works. That's definitely not how God operates. It's according to His will. It's according to what God says. Luke 22:42 says, and God's Word says, Father, this is what Jesus said to God. If you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. This is the Son of God saying before he is crucified, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. This is what he feeds on. This is what Jesus said filled him up, that his food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to accomplish His work. Do you know what His work was? Do you know what His purpose was? The will of God for Jesus was to crucify Him on the cross. That was the purpose. To crucify Him on the cross, raise Him from the dead, and ascend Him into heaven on His right side. That was the purpose. That was God's will. And this is what the Colossians are clinging to. They're clinging to the knowledge of God's will, that this mystery was now revealed to them, that the Messiah had come, been crucified, buried, rose, ascended. That's what they're clinging to. That's their hope in the gospel. And Paul is praying that they would be filled with this knowledge, and that it would not only consume their minds, but that they would live according to it. This is what he's talking about. This knowledge, this wisdom and understanding is Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:30-31. But by his doing, By His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. We're in verse 9 still. But in 1 Corinthians 1, 30-31, it complements what we're reading in verse 9 of Colossians. He says, but by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. When he says that Jesus is wisdom, it's because beforehand there was a mystery of the Messiah to come. Beforehand, they did not know who the Messiah was or who he was going to be. When Christ came, that mystery was revealed. People began to understand of this Messiah. People began to understand and believe in Jesus as the Messiah. This is now wisdom to those who were once ignorant. This is now wisdom to those who were dead in their sins and now need to be saved from those sins and alive in Christ. This is what he's talking about. This is what Paul is saying when he is the wisdom filled with all spiritual wisdom. This wisdom that we have is in Jesus Christ. So when Paul says that, that's what he's referring to. That you would be filled with God's will in all spiritual wisdom, knowing that Jesus Christ is what he's talking about. And also he has in mind that not this man knowledge, not this worldly knowledge, that this Gnostic teaching, remember he is addressing false teachings in this letter, but not that you would be filled with the knowledge of this false teaching coming that you need extra spiritual wisdom, you need all these other things. No, he's saying this wisdom comes from God. This wisdom is according to His will. Do not buy into this false teaching that's coming your way. That's what he's addressing. Peter had the same desire for those he wrote to in 2 Peter. He said this in 2 Peter 3, 17-18, you, therefore, beloved, know this beforehand. Be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow, this is mature, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and today and to the day of eternity. Amen. So he's saying grow. Grow in this knowledge. Don't be swayed left or right. Don't give in to this false teaching that's coming your way. Remember what you've learned about Christ. Cling to that and mature in it. Grow in it. This is what he is saying. That's what Peter prayed for. That's exactly what Paul is praying for, and that it would have an impact in their life. And if that's not enough, turn to chapter 2 of Colossians so we can understand Paul's later thought. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, he says this, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, so that they would be understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you see where Paul's thought continues to go as he reads? Verse 9, he's saying that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And he said this knowledge and this understanding is Jesus Christ, the one that you cling to, the one that you hold to, where your hope lies. What I'm so thankful for, he says, now live according to it. Be filled with that knowledge. This is what he's saying later on. So remember, they're coming from the passage where Paul is thankful for their faith, their love, and their hope. And he's saying, now I'm immediately praying that you would be filled with this knowledge of God's will and that you would walk in a manner worthy. Live according to Christ. Live according to what you learned, where you're clinging to. So Paul's praying that they would be filled with this knowledge. And Paul told the Thessalonians a very similar thing, that this is the purpose, this is part of God's will for the believer, this is part of God's will for the individual Christian, that they would mature and grow in their knowledge of Christ, that they would mature and grow in their faith. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, which is your maturity. You're being made more into the image of Christ. You're growing in the faith. That's God's will for a Christian, that you would grow in it, that you would mature in it. That's what Paul's praying for. So how does this sanctification happen? How does one grow? How is one matured in their knowledge of God's will? It's through the Word of God. John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. Through God's Word, a Christian is matured. Through understanding of God's Word and believing in it and living according to it is how a Christian is matured. Too many people today are trying to find maturity in Christ outside of God's Word. It will not work. You will not mature without understanding God's Word. That's why He wrote it. That's why He gave it to us, so that we would understand it and that we would mature. You cannot grow outside of God's Word. If you were to go to Psalm 119 and read all 176 verses, it's the longest chapter in the book, in God's Word. If you were to read all 176 verses, you would be so amazed by how often this psalmist refers to God's Word, God's precepts, His wisdom from His Word, that you would abide in His law, that you would live according to it. It's all about God's Word, and this is what he says as you're going. You can see it's about maturing in it, growing in it, being filled with the knowledge of it. It's full of 176 verses all about maturing in the Word of God and growing and living according to it. In Psalm 119. And then Peter says in 1 Peter 4 that believers are to live the rest of their lives for the will of God. That's our purpose, to live for the will of God, not for yours, not for mine, not for your families or your friends or your girlfriend or your wife or your husband. It's for the will of God. That's the purpose. That's why we're here. Peter would say that in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, that that's our purpose. The rest of our life is to live for the will of God. And so as we continue to look in these verses, verse 10a, he says, for this purpose, he says, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him. This walk is a walk in Christ. Later on in Colossians, he says just that. Colossians 2, 6 to 7, Paul says, therefore, as you have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. It says, how you have learned Christ, where how you came to faith in Christ, walk in it. Live according to it. So this is what Paul says in verse 9 and 10 as well, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to Him. That's his prayer, that they would not just be simply filled with intellectual knowledge, but that they would be consumed by it and that their life would bear fruit. Their life would be a clear display of one who claims Christ. This is what he's saying. So first, the purpose was that he would pray that they might be filled with the knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that they would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, filled with His knowledge and understanding, and controlled by it, that it would impact their life, affect their life, that they would walk in a manner worthy. And second, what we see in these second half of verses is we see this product. Somebody who is filled with the knowledge of God's will is going to produce evidence that shows that they are living according to God's will. So the second part is the product of godly knowledge, which is godly knowledge produces gospel fruit. Godly knowledge produces an increased knowledge of God. Godly knowledge produces spiritual strength, which comes from God, and godly knowledge produces steadfastness and patience. We see all of that in verses 10 and 11. So I want us to look at those verses real quick. Look at verse 10. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. Then he gives these products. When somebody who is walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, because they're filled with His knowledge and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, this is what happens. They bear fruit in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience. So we see the bearing fruit. And then first we see in verse 10 that He bears fruit. This is the gospel fruit that they bear. They bear fruit in every good work. And second, what we see in verse 10 is there's an increased knowledge of God. These two, I believe, go hand in hand. That somebody who is bearing fruit in their life because they're filled with the knowledge of God, they're going to continue to mature and grow in the knowledge of God. this fruit that Paul is talking about, we also saw in verse 6. Look at verse 6. He says, verse 6, he said this, which has come to you. So this message that has come to you where your faith lies, listen, he says, which has come to you just as in all the world, also it is what? Constantly bearing fruit. This message of the gospel is constantly bearing fruit. And every believer should constantly bear fruit in their life in all the works that they do. Ephesians 2:10, Paul says, this is the purpose of a believer. Why God has chosen individual Christians to be His children, He has done so. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. This walk that he is referring to, oftentimes we think of just simply walking, but what Paul means by this in both of these letters, someone who is walking is someone who, this is true of their life. Everything they do, everything they say, what they think, how they act, what they do with their family at home, this is how they are walking in a manner worthy, because for a Christian, this is what they were created for. Why God saved them, that He prepared beforehand that they would walk in them. That's walking in Christ, and that their life would display that. Walking does not mean simply good conduct, that you're going to be a good Samaritan or a good individual or a good friend or a nice and kind individual. This is that your life would proclaim, would bear fruit, would show the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life, in all that you do and say. This is what Paul's praying for, that out of somebody who is walking in a manner worthy, that they would then bear fruit in every good work. This is why Christians are set apart as God's own possession, that we would proclaim this truth. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is the reason God has chosen His children, that they would proclaim His excellencies, His beauty, His gospel. This is our responsibility. If you are a Christian, if you are an individual who is in Christ, then you would proclaim these truths. You would proclaim the truths of God's Word. So this is what we see in the first two, that you would, one, bear fruit, and two, increase in the knowledge of God. And then third shows the product that is the conduct that is worthy of the Lord that only can be achieved. This isn't on your own power or mine. This is through the power of God that you would grow and mature, and you can only do so by the power of God. We see that in the following verse in chapter 10, increasing the knowledge of God. In verse 11, strengthened with all power. That's not your power, and that's not my power. That's God's power, that He would increase you in that. He would strengthen you in that, that you would grow in it. Ephesians 3:14 through 21 says, for this reason I bow my knees. This is why Paul humbly goes to the Lord in prayer. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up, that's filled, controlled, dominated by all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory is in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. This is the power of God that is going to strengthen you. Not your power, not mine. This is God's power. So Paul is saying that it is nothing else that you and I can do, but is the power of God. There's no other way. There's nothing less than that. There's nothing other than that. It is the power of God that strengthens, the power of God that controls, the power of God that enables one to grow and mature. This is the third product. The power of God is what causes Christians to endure and remain steadfast and full of patience. This is what our fourth point is in this section, is that God's power,
His ability to give you strength and steadfastness is what we see in 11b, where he says, after he goes from the power, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Why? For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. This is long suffering in the face of opposition. That's what he's saying, that you would be strong, that you would be steadfast, that you would be immovable, that you would hold fast to these truths. This is what he's talking about, this perseverance of the saints. Romans 15, 4 to 6 says that this comes from whatever is written in God's Word. For whatever it was written in early times was written for our instruction. Why? So that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our knowledge comes from God's Word, and God's the one who gives perseverance. He's the one that continues to hold each individual fast. He's the one that's not going to allow you to succumb to temptation if you cling to Him, if you live according to His will, if your life bears the fruit that is according to God's Word, that if you would just simply humble yourself before God, this is how you would mature and grow. And so I cannot end without it calling you all and myself to this way of life. That Paul immediately began to pray for this church. Once he heard of their genuine faith in Christ, their genuine love for all the saints, and their genuine hope in the gospel of truth, his response and those that were with him was immediate prayer that God would mature them, that he would fill them with the knowledge of his will, and that when they are truly filled with that knowledge, that their life, that in their life they would walk in a manner worthy of him, bearing fruit in every good work, that they would be increasing in the knowledge of God. All of these things are true, and that's what I pray that would be true of us, that we would be a people that desire to be filled with the knowledge of God, that we desire to search the Scriptures, that we desire to humble ourselves before him, that we would not succumb to the world's teachings, that we would humble ourselves before God, before His teachings, that we would humbly cling to Him and run towards Him, because He is the only one who is going to hold us fast. He is the only one that's going to help us persevere. He is the only one that's going to bring us to the end. There's no way you can do it on your own. There's no way any one man or pastor can bring you on their own. This is between you and God, between me and God, individuals. And so we gather as saints, we gather as brothers and sisters in Christ so that we may encourage each other in these truths, that we may charge and exhort one another to live according to these truths. So that's what I pray would be true. I pray that we would cling to these truths, that we would live according to them, that we would bear fruit, that we would be filled with the knowledge of God, that we would hope and cling to the power that comes from God, and that He would cause us to remain steadfast and in all patience, no matter what trials come our way. So let's pray that God would make this true in our lives, that we would live in accordance to His Word, and that we would bear fruit in our lives and walk in a manner worthy to Him. Father, I thank you for this time, Lord, that we could come and look at your Word, to study this beautiful Word that you have given to us, Lord. So thankful for it. And Father, I pray that we would grow and mature, that we would be filled with the knowledge of your will, and that we would strive with all spiritual wisdom and understanding to walk in a manner worthy of you in accordance to your will. And Lord, that you would cause each one of us to bear fruit in our life, that you would increase our knowledge of you, Lord, that we would be strengthened by your power to remain steadfast in all patience, Lord, for the rest of our days on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.